Okay. We have Baltimore on the line. And we will proceed to talk to Baltimore. Who is Baltimore?
Hey, how you doing? It's Susan and Jack.
Susan and Jack. Oh, you're Jack's
parents. Susan. Hey, how you doing? It was Saul. Tell them the first king was Saul. They don't know nothing. It's a crazy thing. Shaul. Yeah. From the 11th century, it was Saul.
Nice. And so was that the son of Aaron?
No, that was, but you're going back to 1 Samuel, Bob. Come on now, don't fuck this up. You're doing all right, but just leave it be. It was Saul. 1021 to 1000 B.C.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, darling, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're great. What's up? What you got going on tonight?
Comments or questions for Ion, Sue?
Oh, I don't have anything tonight, Ion. I'm just calling to listen.
It is great fun. We're very glad. How's your religion? Well, How's your religion these days?
Oh, my religion is fine. You talking to me?
Yeah, heck yeah, honey. Tell us all about it. Ask us some questions. We want to know what you know. And so that becomes a place of power. What we're trying to tell these jackballs is how to come into their place of power to receive the marvelous, wonderful working power of Christ in their world. And they don't get it somehow. I don't know if they're hard-headed or whatever it is. We tried to tell them that dead lives matter, darling, and they just won't listen. They just won't listen. So we would like to take a more seasoned approach that might allow you the ability and capacity to show these illegitimate little crackers which way they need to go.
All right, I'll do my best. I'm still learning myself.
Hey, now that's what I'm talking about. Now that's good. That's early croaker, darling. That's early croaker. Good for you. Come on.
Croker is Arthur Croker on my chart, too.
Yeah.
My chart was presented in the Book of Revelation. The only chart available today that's in the Book of Revelation. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it's from Moab. The land of Moses.
Now, Sue, you should prompt Ion, in a way, wrote the Bible. Ion knows everything about everything in the Bible and the parts that aren't even in the Bible. So take a question that you've had about your own studies and see what Ion says about it. Or Jack, do it.
Or no, say it this way. That's fun. That's just parlor tricks, Bob. You've been listening to us a little bit, and we say all kinds of crazy things. All kinds of crazy things. What words do we say that are counterintuitive or outside of what you understand as your religious-based beliefs? Now, a belief is just a thought you've been thinking a long time. Where do we become diametrically opposed to what your belief system includes? That's a nice way to say it.
You know, one of the questions that this is Big Jack. How's everybody?
Hey, there he is. You're alive. Thank God. You're doing good. We're wonderfully glad to hear that.
And doing quite well right about now.
Yes, sir.
You know, so often
happy
as...
Happy VJ Day.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Happy 62 right now. Yep. One of the things that has recently come to my... Not so much my understanding, but just kind of put into my frequency of living. So many times we talk about Jesus coming to earth and dying on the cross for us, and giving us salvation and everything. But what I think we miss the most is that ultimately, I mean, that was part of the process to come down here and die on the cross. But ultimately speaking, he came down to reconcile all things, and that's everything. That's just not man in and of itself, but it's everything about about the body. It's everything about everything to reconcile every single situation. And so many times we lose.
Those are good words. Those are good words, but they're too broad because they don't apply. Okay. Most people say Little Jack would hear those words and go, yeah, yeah, yeah. What does that mean? Okay, let's take your position, which we agree with, and let's develop it. All right, Jesus was crucified by the Sanhedrin, but brought before Herod. That's both systems. That's the system in which he was born and the system in which he lived. Both were to judge him, okay? When he was tried for the crucified for the sins of all the earth, the point is he was hung on a cross. The cross represented the chromosome 14, okay? And that chromosome is the one that has the rings and the arms on it. And he had on his head a crown of thorns, which has to do with the Rose of Sharon, which has to do with an amino acid that morphs the body back into its place as God. It talks about the Damascus Road, where you get the power of God as a strike of lightning, like Saul, or as an Emmaus Road, where Jesus got up out of the tomb and was walking and said, don't touch me yet. My ascension hadn't been complete. Don't get in my shit yet. Don't get on me. I'm ascending. Don't touch me now. And they were walking with the Christ all along, and they didn't know it. Could answer every question on the Emmaus Road, on their road to Wellville, as it were. Represented every world system that had to be toppled, represented every mammon that had to be seceded, represented every article that had to be overcome in a little man's position that makes the meek mighty and the mighty meek. It's the most ridiculous thing ever, ever, ever. You kill yourself to build something and then burn it down. You call someplace paradise and then kiss it goodbye. Craziest thing in the whole wide world. You can't love yourself and then can't figure out why you can't love the one you live with. It's the craziest thing ever. You get these broad, pied ideals where you run something, you know something, you do something. Meanwhile, you're borrowing somebody else's power while you got your foot on the back of somebody else's neck trying to prove your point. Oh, yeah, Naaman was in there. Naaman had to take himself to the pool and wash. Once Naaman was able to do that, he was able to bring back that power that was provided to him. Without Naaman, you don't know who you're talking to or what you're talking about. And all these wonderful little exo-Jesus running around here trying to tell you something, trying to run something. I can't even run their own world. They can't. Why is all these pied preachers get up here and try to tell you something, and they tell you what not to do, and then they get caught in a motel room doing what they told you not to do? Pretty interesting after about 35 seconds, ain't it? Where is Oral Roberts when you need something? He's the one guy who said, God's going to kill him unless y'all give me some money check. And they did. It's the funniest thing. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Oral Roberts school still going on, as a matter of fact. But that's a sidebar. That's Jimmy Swagger still around, and he'd sleep with anybody. He didn't care. He was like Pilate. He'd sleep with anything. It didn't make a difference to him. So set that aside. Now, the whole point of all this conversation, religion in general, if all that religion brings you back to your place of power, ooh, we own that like a bad habit. See, the residual conditions of this world you're living in aren't the judge of your world that you can have and engage. See, Bob has to look at the Matt Drudge's report to see what's going on in the world. He has no clue. Well, that's sad. Matt Drudge is nothing. Well, he has to look to Drudge to see what's even going on. He don't have a clue. Literally doesn't have a clue. It has no effect or affect on him at all whatsoever because he's isolated himself from that whole genre. The problem with Bob is he knows too much. Okay, then fine. You know everything. Then it shouldn't be a problem. Explain it. The problem with Bob is he can. But he always uses the Gutenberg Galaxy or the printing press, because that's where it all went south. It's when they were starting, when the Catholic Church was selling indulgence. You could sin if you bought an indulgence. That's where the printing press came along to print all these words so you could buy your way out of the whorehouse if you got caught in the whorehouse by the church's selling of indulgence. But then again, it wasn't that too far away that Dante created the hell, that Jesus went to hell with the keys to death, hell, and the grave to unloose you from in the first place. Good thing Dante invented it, or there wouldn't be no hell to get you out of. Amazing, isn't it? So those become the tides, the prince of tides that you have to use. Okay. Malachi can show you how it goes in and out, but nobody thought Malachi was a very good king, did they?
A very good what?
They didn't think Malachi was a very good king, but Malachi certainly cleared the way to, he made a clear way to discern the difference between what you call right and wrong and up and down and over and under. So what this is all about, perfect words as you brought them out, is that you have to be able to understand the condition that people are going to do what they're going to do. They are, they have, the world's been burning since the world's been turning. Ain't nothing you can do about that. The point is for you to become powerful in your realm. Because the 4 and 20 elders sit in a judgment, in an adjudicated position for the marriage supper of the Lamb. When your blood's going to change to the perfect blood, there's power in that blood that's going to allow you to come into your place of power. And if your lamp is trimmed and burning, you'll be able to find your way through. And then the vile judgments won't take you away from your promise, which is to be the bride of Christ. Jesus is coming back, but he's not a pedophile. Bob has been called that, but Jesus ain't a pedophile. He don't, like the Catholic Church, he don't diddle little kids. So when he comes back for his bride, it's to be a mature bride, somebody who knows who they are. So you can get like Carolyn Dean and Vestal Goodman and quote the scripture to God like they don't know it. She'll do that in a second. She'll say, now she'll quote the scripture to God like God don't know it. And stand right there and say something. And it's like, woo. Then the heavens sort of quake a little bit. And what happens is the angels from the realms of glory, they respond in kind. And they do that every single time without fail or exception. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. When you come into that place where you can viscerally feel that tactile energy flowing through every possible function in your body. He's talking about the fascia. When your fascia, fire flies off your fascia, where you can't quite touch the ground anymore. It's an amazing thing because it allows you to know who you are, which is what God put you on this earth in his image to become in the first place. The war, since the beginning of what you call your time, has been the battle over who is to sit at the right hand of God. Lucifer was cast into this earth to tease you, to taunt you away from that condition. And the battle is solved when man decides that they are indeed in the image of God. And when they choose a free will to come into that place of power, the bridegroom of Christ, or the bride of Christ for the bridegroom, the marriage supper of the Lamb, then you win. Battle's over. We won. Then the angels start working for you full time. It's pretty amazing. And the funny thing about it is, Big Jack, here's the thing. Every single religion says the same thing. We can't find even the weirdo religions, even the Jim Jones. You remember Jim Jones, the Kool-Aid drinker that killed Jim Jones? Even he said the same thing, sitting there on his throne. Uh-huh. He was misguided because he was trying to force it. The first rule of learning how to work yourself in a religion is you get a sign, put it up in your yard, put it everywhere you have. Do not pet the rattlesnakes. Don't pet the rattlesnake. That'll come in handy. Don't pet the rattlesnakes. Now, they'll take care of the staff. Leave them alone. They'll take care of the staff. But if you don't pet the rattlesnakes, you're not nearly as likely to get bit by one, I guess is a nice way to say it. Then after a little while, discernment will kick in. And as you live a little while, as you're the standing poster child for this, you've lived enough life now that you start to see which way is up. It's not so hard. You know ups and downs. The economy's good. The economy's bad. It's bad times. It's good times. It's rich man. It's poor man. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It's Alex Haley. It's not. You know, everything is one side or the other of where you are. based on where you could have been, where you could, you had, you have had an opportunity or a change. Ain't it funny? The harder you work, the more changes you seem to fall into. It's amazing. So that's a place of applying your power, and that's what the chromosome 14 is going to change and allow you to see the rings and the arms of the physical part of your meat sack body that will change. Your blood type changes. The amino acids, which is found in the rose of crown, the thorn of crowns, that they put on the king of the Jews' head, and then when they pierced his side with the spear of destiny, when the water came first from the pericardium, then the blood flowed, that's how it all flows. From the power of living water, which is what Moses got in trouble for striking the rock. They said, we want water. And God said, do not strike the white stone with your staff. Do not do it. Well, he done it anyway, and water flowed. Well, he got in trouble for being disobedient. Got all messed up. So much so that he had to pass his mantle on. He couldn't even make it across the River Jordan. Hey, by the way, there's sewage in the River Jordan. Y'all got to get across the River Jordan to get to Canaan's land. There's giants over there, but you can whoop them giants. You've already whooped the lion and the bear. It's not that big of a deal. But there's sewage in the River Jordan. It's nasty. Not so pretty as it was. So that's the little things to come. But isn't that wonderful? Now, is that ain't none of those words we just said, that ain't against what you believe, is it, Big Jack?
Say that once again. Everything you said what?
Is any of them little words we just said goes against what you believe?
No, not at all.
No. Okay, good. Now, how are we going to help Little Jack? Where's Little Jack? He fell off the wagon again. What do we need to do for him?
I don't know. You got to ask Jack that.
Well, we call him. He got to be naked, though. He can't talk to us with clothes on. It's the damnest thing you ever seen. He is so introverted with them shoes. Do you know how many pairs of shoes that child has? Do you have any idea? He got more shoes than Carter ever made liver pills. You never see.
That's true.
Got two pairs of shoes for every outfit he ever owned. The craziest thing you ever seen. We don't know what's going on with that. But, hey, he's ready to go now. He got some shoes. He ain't got no clothes, but he got some shoes going on. But, anyway, it's great fun because now what he's done is he's finding something that's not the NBA that can bring him solace in his world. Before, the only thing that got him there was b-ball. It's silly. But now that he destroyed that, by himself. He's a powerful little he's a cat dog now. He got some game. He destroyed it because he was in that world and he became above it. And then they stood as judge that he was not as appropriate. So he shut it down. That's pretty impressive as far as power goes. And so and they're gone. And so now they call him wanting to borrow money. Since their contracts didn't do so good as they thought. They had them contracts. That's all they needed. Ooh, I just need me a contract. I don't need no money. Give me a contract. I don't need no spare tire. I got a piece of paper. Then I can get my tire fixed anytime I want to. Unless I'm in the middle of a desert. And then I can't quite get nobody to fill my contract then, can I?
Little Jack.
Yeah.
That talk we just heard from Ion, did you get it? Were you amazed at the erudition, the polymath, the encyclopedic jumping a boat of topics? Who can do that? Can Reverend Wright do that? No, he can't do what Ion just did. Ion wrote the Bible.
Oh, Reverend Wright. We love Reverend Wright. Reverend Wright said, God damn the United States of America. That's what Reverend Wright said. He wasn't real fond of the Jews either, as we recall.
But the very good Big Jack, congratulations. You evoked a great rant. We will post that rant everywhere, all over the world, for people to understand what the real sermon sounded like in the beginning.
Yeah, we'll make money off that.
Yeah, we'll make money.
Thank you.
We'll send you a Christmas card, Big Jack.
We'll get you an appointment with one of Jimmy Swagger's hookers if you want to. We've got lots of them. It'll be great. It'll be really enjoying. He's still kicking, by the way. We don't know how.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Thanks. You're very welcome. Did that clean it all up? What you need now? What else is up?
Oh, no, I was just trying to provoke some conversation tonight. That's all.
So here's some good conversation. What you got to figure out. Do you like spicy food?
Do I like, say that again? Spicy food.
Spicy food.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, no spicy food.
Food that actually has some flavor?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So anyway.
Okay, here we go. Get you some Tom Yum Goon. Do the big pot. It's like a spicy, lemongrassy, mushroom, shrimp soup. And if you get it right, Thai hot, ooh, it'll scald your hog. It's amazing. Start with that. That'll make you cry a little bit. And then get you some Yum Nur, which is a steak with onions and tomatoes, cucumbers with some lettuce and a sauce. That's following it. Now, you got to eat a whole lot now. It's so hot you're crying, you're about to die. That's good. And then you got to go crispy duck with basil sauce. Okay? Now, that's a little entree. Don't get a big thing of that. Just a little thing. Just because the duck is a little bit fatty, but you get spicy enough. The spice cuts the fat, and the fat cuts the spice. And it is unbelievable. It's very, very good.
What's the spice? Or the herb outside of basil. I didn't hear you mention anything else.
White onions, red bell peppers, green bell peppers, and a basil sauce. And there is some lemongrass, and there is a little rosemary and a bit of Chinese five spice, but that's from the duck. The five spice comes from the duck. You got to cut that fat, you know, because you want it kind of crispy. And the only way to do it is to cook it and then cook the fat off of it. Okay, and then you want to do a nice Penang curry. And that's the bigger dish. You can get it with whatever pig, cow, chicken, hog maws, whatever you got. It's all right. Curry. But then that's nice, but make sure you put a lot of onion in. You need some onion. You got two choices in this world. You can eat an onion every day or you can be sick. That's it. Gotta eat onion. It's good for you. And then, if you make it through all that, you can get you some Thai spaghetti. And that's, you do that with some pork. It's best with some pork. With the chili garlic sauce, the sambal, it's pretty spicy, but it's like a red sauce with snow peas, tomato, and some tarragon. This has tarragon in it, which is kind of heavy flavor.
Hey, Donnie. Can I interrupt and ask... what Jack Jr. thinks of his Christian upbringing compared to his Ion upbringing?
Well, they're the same, aren't they?
They should be. What do you think, Jack?
Because on me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Them clothes off?
Yeah.
Okay.
The upbringing, it's the same thing. I mean, it's the same thing. It's just at the end of the day.
Well, yeah, No, it's not. No, it's not the same thing. Stop. It is not the same thing. When you were raised up, there was no God that was in your world. The God was outside your world. You had to serve God. You had to worship God. You had to bow to God. Now you become the God that gets bowed to. You become the bride of Christ. That's what it didn't say. That's what they didn't go so far with. They didn't add it. It was all sweet by and by until you had to live in the goddamn dirty here and now. When you've got to shake yourself and know who you are in God, you better know who that is.
Yeah,
they
that's what I was going to say.
Esoteric outside somewhere else. Somewhere over the damn rainbow that you might get saved if you do right or do what I thought I think I said, then you might be all right. Yeah. No, so you got to bring the power. The gifts of the Spirit
the whole armor of God as Ephesians lays out? Who, what was Daniel talking about? Where did Daniel get them powers? Ooh, where did Solomon get all that magic from? Where did the cabal come from that could move and shake the foundations of the earth? That's the power we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was going to say,
don't say that. Don't say that. What it does is it takes it from the sweet by and by and brings it back to the dirty here and now. That's the difference. That's the difference. You look at representations of mechanical positions of faith and you apply them into your own ventricular, you know, you got veins that's pumping. It's a system. It's a closed system that pumps that allows it to flow more freely and more purely. And the meat sack body responds in kind. The meat sack body responds in kind. You see? McDonald's is good, but don't eat it every day. Right?
Yeah.
You see? And so you have to apply it. So,
hey, Jack.
Mechanicals are fair.
Yep.
Get Big Jack and his church to invite Ion to address them in some sermon or some church service someday.
We would never do that. You know what we would do? You know what? If that were the case, if we were invited, we'd give them sticky rice with mango. Every one of them have sticky rice with mango. You can find Jesus faster anywhere in the world in sticky rice with mango. It's healthy. It's sweet. It's got a little carb to it. It's refreshing. Jam-packed full of magnesium. Ooh. Yeah. Sticky rice with mango. And they can find Jesus. They can let Jesus slide down their throat hole. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Now, Jack, little Jack.
Yeah.
When Ion's time boat, you've listened long enough, you know most of what we're referring to. Chromosome 14 mm-hmm. refers to our products. Our products are complete everything. Get on our products, you probably don't have any ailments anymore, no matter what they are. Plus, we got energy devices. We have things that will revolutionize all industries. This is very close to ET contact, I would say,
mm-hmm.
as we fantasize ET contact. Something that'll come.
It's almost as good as Jerry. It's almost as good as Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yes, a whole lot of world shaking. But this
never
lecture,
seen the swagger's cousin, never seen
or this poem that I am just still doing, should be sent out to masses of people. There's nobody who can talk like Ion, half incomprehensible, and mostly comprehensible. Because it sparks people's memory of what was. Oh, I could do it. I could go through
like,
it. I could do a better talk.
We're like Bob. We're like James Brady. We had half a mind not to come.
James Brady was the guy who got shot when Reagan was shot. In the head. March 31st, 1981. Or the 30th. I never remember. March 30th.
What's that got to do with Sirhan Sirhan?
Nothing. Not a thing at all. You brought it up. So, Jack, what did you hear tonight when Ion said that you hadn't noticed or heard before?
I mean, he's never really broke it down in relation to the Bible and its stories as a whole like he did tonight. I mean, he's usually like bits and pieces, but that was the first time that I've heard him like go explain something kind of in a way for my father. I think you tried to break it down in a way that, I came up in the church, which is, you know, as a child, I went to a Baptist church. You know, they tell you need to be baptized. I remember a lot of times in church, I would be very tired.
That's called the first church of the last minute.
What is that? What do you mean by that?
Church is called the first church of the last minute.
Here's the thing. You're supposed to come into the church. You're supposed mm-hmm. to give your tithe and your talents and your presence and your prayers. Okay, mm-hmm. that means you give your tithe to your church. Now, once you accept Christ as your Savior, Now, you can't have the power, but you accept Christ as your Savior, and you get baptized. That means you get dipped in the water that gets washed in the blood. Then you can become part of membership. You can be a member. And you're supposed to sit in the pew and sit in that pew and wait until Jesus splits the eastern sky. And when Jesus splits the eastern sky, when the roll is called up yonder, you should be there. Okay? And so you're sitting in there waiting on it to not be in the rain. So that's a saved position. You're outside. You're in the world, but not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are not, you still sin. Oh, wait now. You're doing bad things all the time. That's neither here nor there. Set that aside because you ask for forgiveness for that. Well, God is sin, right? And so the esoteric position that moves into the next part is that your faith finally can get some feet. People run around here with the faith of Job and they're laying in a water somewhere, starving to death, laying in a water, can't tend to theyself. People can't make a living if they give it to them. Bob, right now, checks like the ice water in hell, and people won't get, still can't make it. Craziest thing we ever seen. Shake it, and then bring it back to where you apply this marvelous saving salvation grace, and you can do like they told Naaman to go to the pool and wash. Naaman had to get himself to the pool. Once Naaman did, he was cleared of leprosy. Very wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they're doing.
They're sitting in the church. They're sitting in the church waiting on Jesus.
But now there is no church. So what happens
to just standing in the church, just waiting on Jesus? Yes, Jesus is our Savior. We are now empowered.
He is. You can be. Yes.
Right. We walk with faith. We are empowered to do the things that we've been called to do.
Jesus did. Jesus called you to do the things that Jesus did. How many people have you raised from the dead this week?
None.
What's wrong? Is it failed? Is it wrong? Is it not right? Is it not true? Is it a damn lie? No, it's true. You got to bring that power. That's the point. That's what Jesus was saying. That's what we call the Sermon on the Mount. That's what the Beatitudes is about. And so you can get past that position and you can apply it. Faith without feet is dead. It ain't no good. Yeah. Woo woo.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, Scripture does tell us that where Jesus said that we would do greater things, you know.
Everybody quotes it, but don't nobody damn do nothing. They all talking. Right. He ain't doing nothing. God that we're talking about, the way you apply God into this world allows that marvelous working power of an ever-loving God to flow through you. You can discern. You can tell what's bullshit in about 2.3 seconds. You can smell a rat at 100 paces for pizza. You know right from wrong. Everybody knows right from wrong. That ain't the point. Is it the platitudes are easy. God is love. That's a platitude. The vicissitude is, does God love me? That's the vicissitude. And if you can't embrace that part, guess what? You're going to tunk a low poison. It ain't going to work because you'll be tried and found wanting. You can't do it because the judgment that comes is for how you applied your place of power. See? If you don't have love, what have you got? What is love? Love is a force field. If you don't have a force field, you can't hold yourself in the time of trouble. These pied Christians run around here thinking they're trying to do something. They don't know who Christ is. They don't know what love is. They don't know what they're trying to see what they can steal out of the offering plate. They're not trying to help their brother and their neighbor. They're busy in the beauty parlor talking about people like they dogs. Now, Bob does do that a little bit, but he is the dark soul. So, you're not saying he goes to the beauty parlor, but he will talk about it now. We've been trying to talk to him about it, but it ain't working out so good. But we're doing the best we can with the limited resources for which we've made available to ourselves. But regardless, the point now becomes a broom sweeps clean if you work it from the corners. A broom sweeps clean if you work it from the corners. A clean sweep is what you need to move things around. If it's all clogged up, if it doesn't work, if it becomes trite, or becomes just some woo-woo out there somewhere, sweet by and by kind of thing, you need to bring it back to where it's real life, in you, visceral, tactile. Can I feel it? Do I know how it works? Can I call the fire of God on this earth? No. There ain't no any way around it. If you can, good. If you can't, get some, get the right kind because you got the wrong kind. You pissing in the wind. Might as well go and lay down somewhere and do what you're going to do. Go have a big time. Get you a nice, what is the stuff they take there? Is it crack? Crank? No, crick? Get you something else and make you happy for 30 minutes because it's over. It's over real fast now. The vile judgment is on this earth right now. You can ball it up any way you want to. It's the craziest thing we ever seen. It's fun, but it's crazy. They make mountains out of molehills, and then they burn the mountains. How do mountains burn? They burn mountains. It's unbelievable. Little Jack, we digress. What did you say?
Yeah, so I think my dad was asking the question. Dad, what were you saying before Iron just said what he said?
I'm not sure the last thing I asked him.
You were talking about Jesus, and you said Jesus said that we should do greater things, and then I think it stopped. Yeah,
I mean, the word, you know, the word is specific. I forgot what a chapter and verse it is. Concerning, he says that we'll do greater things. You know, he was demonstrating his miracle working power and everything. And, you know, even today for myself, like I had just said, you know, I want to know how to, I mean, what it's going to take to.
You're talking about this. John 14, you're talking about John 14, 12.
Yeah, 14, 12, right, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
What is that verse, Ion? John 14:12?
Verily, verily, I say unto ye, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do more so also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And it goes on. Truly I tell you.
Yeah. So I think that's what the biggest thing that I would say, Ion, what I learned growing up in the church and what you say is the end game, it's totally different than what you think. Because the whole time you're thinking your power and plenty of people are giving their power to a God. If you think about it, right, in layman's terms, right, if you think about it really, okay, I'm going to give my power to a God, yeah. Something that I've never met or never saw, but something that I've been taught to walk through in faith because somebody else told me there was a God. That sounds amazing until you start to look at things and open up and hear things from a different perspective. Because everything you say is the same thing. It's just at the ending, you realize that you are the God. You have the power.
Well,
as he said, you're
Solomon,
created in his image.
They never talk about Solomon. And Solomon used more of God's power than most, folks. Solomon applied.
You said that Solomon used God's power, and I'm in total agreement with that. He used the power from the creator of everything that is.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
So.
And didn't ask any questions. Now, he fell in with the Sodomites. He got all tangled up in the whole thing, but he was powerful enough to do that, you see. He was powerful enough to do that. You have forces within and without this world. That's what they say caused the flood in the first place, is because the angels was interacting with the Nephilim and the Seraphim as interacting with the humans, and you kind of get into trouble. Now, you got to be careful because the Mary, They said an angel of the Lord came down and was with Mary, and she became with child. Now, I don't know how you want to run the exegesis on that one, so you got to be real careful with how that applies, unless it's in the broadest sense of the term. But it wasn't nothing to do with Joseph. That's all we're trying to say. Just say it. So we can't use that as a bloodline, you see. The Benjamites are what you got to watch after, because that's the line that you're coming through. Now, in the Apocrypha, which didn't make the top 20, but in the Apocrypha, it lays out very crass details about the miracle-working power of God. Okay? And some of the Kabbalah, that's the secret Jewish part with these applications of power. What we're trying to say is we don't want to make this just a John the Baptist Renaissance. You can go to Buddha. You can give us a nice big old fat reclining Buddha. Ooh, it just tickles us to death. Come on, bring us a Dalai Lama. God damn, bring us all the llamas. We can tell
What about Anton LaVey, the Church of Satan? Can you go there?
Sure, why not? All he's trying to do is to navigate the principle that you should understand the Prince of Darkness is here to lie, cheat, and steal. And if you'll serve him, you'll get ahead of it if you're not going to come into your place of power. Exactly. They all say the same thing. They all say the same thing. That angel, Lucifer, that angel is nothing but the application of love's requisite requited. Love's requisite requited. If you can't be all, that's what the dope game is all about. You can't make it. You can't do it. You can't do it. So go right here. Come on 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 here. Here, I got it. Here, let's have an eight-ball. Let's have an eight-ball-fueled weekend of debauchery. Oh, and it's terrible, but it feels good right that second. It's anything to replace you.
Hey, this Lucifer, when you talk about Lucifer, the angel that God kicked out of heaven, and you say that he's love, and what? I'm trying to understand that.
Say the word.
You know what I'm saying? Excuse me? No, I'm saying.
Say the words
Lucifer,
again.
Say those words
the
again.
The devil. Yes, the devil, Bob was talking about the church that worships Satan, and how does that apply into our words? And we say perfectly. And Lucifer was cast down into this earth, and that people who worship Satan, if they're not going to come into their place as God, they might as well worship the devil, because they are anyway. Some people don't call it the devil. You know what? Some people call it Big Jack. People call it Mammon. You ever heard of Mammon? Hoo-hoo.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, they worship. They worship Mammon. That's what's of this earth. That's ball. That's B-ball. That's academia. That's a stock market. That's sex. That's cutting up babies and draining the blood and all kind of craziness. All this foolishness, it's a self-contrived, borrowed position of power. Okay, if you're not going to come into your place of power, the church of Satan, the devil, Lucifer, the archangel devil cast into this earth to lie, cheat, destroy, and undo all of God's work, to entreat you in such a way where you don't ascend, that's what his job is, that's the battle in heaven. That's why he was cast out of heaven in the first place. He said, "Hey God, I'm been good to you. Hey man, God, I'm your nigga now. I've been here with you forever. I need to set the right hand." And God said, "Well now, Lucifer, you pretty, you real pretty. We appreciate that. You good looking. You got it going on. You got that good look going on. You got that Alex Haley look going on. It's all suave. You suave. But you're not gonna sit there. My son's gonna sit there. Now, come on now. You're going to get this right now. I've done more for you. I'm better. And your son is great. Love Jesus. Blah, blah, ice cream. And that kind of stuff. We love all that. But I'm going to set your right hand because I've earned that position." And that's what started a third of heaven fighting two-thirds of heaven. And that's why Lucifer and a third of his angels got cast down in the earth. Now, the church Bob is talking about that we're all saying includes in what we're saying is the representation that if you don't come into your power if you don't bow before God Almighty and come into your place of power, then you're going to bend the knee somewhere else. That's what that church says, too. That's what that church says, too. It's great. So it's going to catch you. If you move, if you found slipping, it's going to catch you. You don't take care of your wife, you'll get caught slipping. You get caught slipping. You don't take care of your wife, you get caught slipping. And you can call it any way you want to. You get caught slipping, and then you got to work out something. See, that's the difference. The point now becomes you have to find a way to let God's power work through you, and you've got to work through God's power. Your body is going to change. On the resurrection morning, you're going to have a new body. You're going to have a new life. Your body going to change. Got to. Got no choice.
Okay, I'm still not quite clear with that understanding right there. I think you said the Bible is just using an example of everyone's trying to claim the same thing from all the different religions.
Yeah, they are. It's not just the Bible, it's all religions. They're trying to point you back to God. They all start with the premise that there's something bigger than you, something more powerful than you, something that created you. And we go with that. We don't have a problem with that. That's fine. Then it goes down. Different religions pick different things, you know, from that that's important.
But ultimately, no one except for a Christian religion or faith claims the blood of Jesus.
Wait. We're not talking. We're not claiming the blood of Jesus. We're claiming Jesus' blood. There's a difference. You can apply the blood of Jesus on an event, but if the blood of Jesus, if the Lamb's perfect blood is flowing through you, you don't have to claim that blood. You've got your own.
Okay.
There you go. The joint heir. The joint heir of Christ is a joint heir. You're not less than, you see. That's the difference. Now, we understand what you're saying. The religious belief is that you can plead the blood of Christ on a situation. See, that means you're praying. That means you're asking God for something. All right, but once you come into that place of power, you can declare it as so. And it is. That's not asking. That's declaring it so.
Okay.
There's a difference.
I guess it depends on where you are with what you're trying to do at that time. But right.
We're trying to get you into your place of power. The marvelous, unwrenching, unquenched, undeniable, flowing blood of Christ. Ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Ready for that perfect Lamb's blood that was slain for you and for many, that you could come into that place. That those 24 elders sit at that throne ready for the coronation. King of kings and Lord of lords, that you are that. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus is supposed to come after. That's why you better be looking to the eastern sky, because he's going to split it wide open. It might be the Far East if you're looking to China. It might be showing up the Far East. So east, it's west.
So Ion, this is my biggest thing that I could think about with religion and things. Like, for me, I'm 35 years old, right? So, and even like I said, when I was a kid going to church, I did those things because that's what I was taught to do, and that's what you're supposed to do, you know?
That's good.
You're in
when
the church.
When you raise up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he'll not depart from it. That's called raising. You don't get past good raising. That's right.
Exactly. So I'm brought up in the church. I did all the things in the church. I sung in the choir. I was an usher. I did everything. I didn't clean shoes. Did you say clean shoes? No, I couldn't do that.
Bought shoes.
Oh yeah, of course. I'm always bought shoes. But you know, at the same time, you always think about like, what is that power that everyone is in here paying for? Then you, as a kid, you say, okay, this lady caught the Holy Ghost. Okay, that's some power. I don't know what that is. But as a kid, you get scared of it. Like, wait, what is happening right now? Why aren't you catching the Holy Ghost? So then, as a child, you don't look at it as...
You're attuned to it. You're attuned to it. You become... That's the representation of being slain, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or being slain in the Spirit, what you represent, what represents. Now, we've done a bunch of stuff on Pentecost, on the days after Passover, and that whole conversation from the Easter tide and all that stuff. We've done a great deal about blowing the shofar and counting the omer and getting rid of your schmutz. We got all that. That's normal. You've done that with us. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what happens is that you're not being afraid of it. You're exposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Getting dizzy. You're scared of a basketball. You're scared of a basketball first time you get on a court. You're scared of it. You don't know. You don't know. They're throwing it at you. You're throwing it. You're running. You're passing. You're open. You're dribbling. You're this. You're that. They're tripping you up. They're running you. You're scared of it. But once you get in the groove of it, you get normal. It gets normal.
Yep.
Next thing you know, you're going for the three. You're going for the 3 points. After a little while, it becomes not foreign. It becomes appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
It's exposure.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the marriage supper of the Lamb is about.
Exactly. So, coming up, you see that, and it's like, it's almost like you, that. It scares you, but really, that's the power you want when you can attach to that power and you can control it. That's almost like, you know, but as a kid, I'm 35, so I had video games. I had a lot of other shit that would distract me from the everyday things of a child. My dad is in his 60s, so his growing... They may not have had more things distract them. So, like, church was never one of those things.
They had
like,
more things. No, they had more things. They had more things to distract them. They had more things to distract them because they had to make worlds. They had to look at comic books. Yeah, Big Jack, you remember C. Hunt?
I don't remember C. Hunt, but I do remember, you know, reading comic books.
How about the courtship of Eddie's father?
Yeah, my wife says, yep, she remembers that. I don't quite remember that.
Yeah,
either.
Okay. How about the flying nun?
Sally Field, okay.
Yeah. See, those things become part of the position. You had to tune Jack, little Jack. Yep. Those days, it was here, it's everywhere. There, you had to be lined up. Okay? The Lucy Show come on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Okay, so you had to be there at 8 o'clock to get the Lucy Show. Everybody had to mass hook up at the same time. That took more doing than just clicking it on demand or doing what you want to do. You turn the news on at 6 o'clock. Because you wanted to watch the news, you wanted to see what Walter Cronkite had to say. Walter Cronkite didn't lie. He told the truth. And you know what? If he put out something that wasn't true, sitting at that desk with that rotary telephone and the phone would ring, he'd bring breaking news, and he'd tell what they told him on the telephone right there. Now, when he told something that wasn't true, the next night, the same time, he said, hey, y'all, what I told y'all last night for true, I just found out it's a damn lie. Oh, he didn't say damn. But he meant to say it's a damn lie. He straightened it out. You could depend on it. It was honest. It was fair. Normally, when a newspaper wrote a story, it was correct, unless it was an editorial page. That's when somebody would give their opinion of something. Now, it was harder then. You had much more distraction then. You had big cubes. You had all kinds of, you didn't have Pokemon. You weren't none of that foolishness. But you had a focused position where you engaged in your society. The church served a function then. You had prayer meeting on Wednesday night, Bible study on Wednesday night. You had things Sunday school. You had things to do. You had potluck suppers. You had things going on. You got together and you shared with each other and you enjoyed living together. Okay? You enjoyed sitting down as a family engaging. Dinner was more than a TV tray.
That's very true. I remember that.
You engaged.
As a kid, my dinners were crazy.
You had a position.
Yeah, I remember, for sure. It was serious.
See, and so your world was driven.
That was back when people ate real butter on soda crackers. You know that?
Hey, one thing that I just need clarity on, because
yes, darling,
when we talk about being a god, in my religion, there's only one God, one big G God.
There is. Yeah, there's only one big G God.
And when we say that we are God, I find that to be conflicting to my beliefs. So I just need you to help me to understand
that. Gotcha. I got that. You're right. First of all, your words are solemn, they're right, and they're correct. There's only one big G God. Okay, and then now we look at the words in the scriptures that say you are a joint heir with Christ. Now, Jesus is a God, but that's God's son, not God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait now. That Jesus is God, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is God, but that's not G-God. G-God's son is Jesus. Okay?
Right.
But now, here we go. You are created in the image of God. Okay, so you're in the image of God, and we got that, There's no problem with that, because you're coming into this place. You need saving, because you're not saved. And Jesus was sacrificed, his blood and water was sacrificed, so that you could gain the position of being a joint heir with Christ.
I got you.
Now, Jesus, hold on now. Jesus is coming back, just like he said. And God's own chariot's going to come carry folks away. And it may just be 144,000. That's referencing the double helix strands that the perfect being has. What happens is Jesus is coming back through the eastern gate to collect his bride, the bride of Christ. Now, the Bible teaches is that it's the church. That's what they teach. But see, if it's going to be the bride and you're created in God's image, that puts you on the throne. You see, you become a joint heir with Christ. And that's the whole point of you becoming God. And so, therefore, you are accepting God's gift of his power coursing and flowing through your veins. It just is the John we quoted earlier, these things on earth he's done, you'll do, and greater things. So that you become part of that capital G God, you become that part, or that part and parcel of the extended body of Christ.
Okay.
Were you about to ask, Mom?
Yes, ma'am.
I got it. We're talking John 14, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm just trying to...
14:12.
Ion, the biggest thing is this. I think it's very, like you said, it's hard to interpret someone saying that or telling you that you are God because you're taught that God is something that's outside of you instead of taught that God is something that...
It is outside of you. You don't come up to your place of power. Jesus has already done everything he's going to do for you. He's not going to do no more. He's done everything, and you still won't accept it. It's kind of like, here's the gift. Come get it. Here's the world. Come have it. Here's all the power and the sun, moon, and stars. Use it. Mm-hmm. Call down a legion of angels if somebody's bothering you. Every nasty thing done on this earth, it said that an angel of the Lord came down and blah, 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 blah. Knocked down the wall, knocked up Mary, tore down Babel, tore this up, consumed all of Gomorrah and Sodom. What happened? That happened. So you got to use that place of power. And that's right. You're right. It's silly. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. How are you going to come in and plead the blood of Jesus? How are you going to plead the blood of Jesus and not come into that place of power?
Where does the adage come from? There should be no God before me. I am a joint.
There is not. That's right. That's
so
exactly right. You are. That there shall be no gods before you. So leave that basketball alone. Leave that crocheting alone. Leave that man alone. Leave that food alone. Leave that sugar alone. Leave that dope alone. You're going to have no other gods greater than you.
going before me. Who is me? That's you.
Exactly
that's
right.
That's the part right there.
That's exactly
that's the part right
that's
there.
What
I'm
there.
Still trying to understand.
But that's what it's saying. Yeah. No. We're literal. We're literal. That's what it's saying. It said, there shall be no gods before me. You're jealous. Exactly right. You're not going to let something outside steal your joy, steal your gift.
That's true.
That's your gift. That's your wealth. That's your health. Mm-hmm. That's your well-being. I'm not going to allow a whiskey bottle to rid me or rape
right.
me of my well-being. I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I'm going to plead the blood of Christ over you because, see, we
so
only
say
see
I,
you as
I,
God already.
Who is the
what?
I when you say
I? The I is the superfluous. Yeah, and the I is the fullness of you as Christ. The fullness of
the
you as in your
you
unabated. The fullest of
in
you
Christ.
In unabated position of joint heir with Christ. That's the I.
You say yes. Joint
that's
heir.
That's the same I. Joint heir with Christ. That's exactly right. That's where, that's to whom Jesus was preaching to on the Sermon on the Mount. That's what we call Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Where he's laying out the Beatitudes. He's laying out the tenets so you can understand that this is about you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to accept Jesus or you're lost. You got to recognize the power in Jesus or you're lost. You've got to understand who God is or you're lost. You've got to find a way to get you in a condition to receive the blessings that's already been given to you.
Yes,
you
I agree with
you. You're absconding. You're absconding on the very thing that's already been done for you. You've undone it.
But
you're lost.
Yeah. Right.
Now people are running around trying to find something to replace their problem.
So, Ian, doesn't that require us to meditate on His Word both day and night, as the Scripture tells us?
Mediations. If somebody sues you, if they take you to court, sometimes mediation is good, but make sure you get a good judge in the mediation. Otherwise, they're going to treat you wrong. They're going to treat you ugly, and you ain't going to get a good settlement. But mediations are all right.
You
no,
said mediation
said,
for meditation, Jack.
Oh, well, I kind of figured about. I'm not seeing that. That kind of goes away from my
Jack, hey, meditate.
Jack,
meditate.
This is how I take it. Basically, what he's saying is you could read the Word and meditate on the Word, but if you don't know the Word is about you and not an outside source that you're trying to get it from, it's. You're not really meditating because you're thinking, well, you're thinking there's a power that you're trying to attach to, but you already are the power. So it's almost like, you know, teaching someone how to shoot a shot as a kid, and you teach them to fade away and shoot a step back first. This is how to make a regular shot. That's the connection. Okay. Now start meditating on what you know. Like once I learned how to shoot a jump shot and make a three, I then knew how to say, okay, I know how to do a step back. I knew how to do a Tim Hardaway. I knew how to do whatever. But until I knew the correct way or what someone was teaching me was the right way, or when I was learning, I didn't know how to do anything else. But when I did, and this example is, when I found out that we have access to the power and the Bible, the Word, the Bible is right. Everything is right about the Bible, but it doesn't tell you that you are the power. It's talking about you to
it
come
does.
Back into
no,
your
it
place
does.
Of power.
It does tell you. It does tell you, but they start running the exegesis. If you read the Word and you was in the Word, if you was mediating the Word day and night, you'd know that the Scriptures say that you should be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Yeah. You're studying the rule
That's
book
true.
And not playing the game. Get out of the damn
That's
rule
true.
Book and get to living. You make mistakes
yeah,
every day
don't.
Anyway. Function in the place that allows power to flow through your meat sack body, and it'll return in kind. It won't come back void. It never comes back void. It'll always sustain you. It'll always save you. It'll always put your head above the waters. Y'all living in a world that's fixing to be consumed. Watch it burn. You're living in a world that's fixing to be consumed. And in the time of trouble, that's when you need sustaining.
just saying.
Hey, I am. When you say have no God before me, that means no God not in front of me, like an altar. It means no God before me. I'm the God.
Correct. That's correct. That's right. And that's what the scriptures are actually saying, that don't let a basketball, or don't let a Marshall McLuhan, or don't let a drug or a dope or a
or an ion or an ion
husband or an ion. Absolutely, don't come into your place of power and get rid of us. Ooh, yeah. But now here's the problem with this now. Let me tell you the fallback. Y'all remember the tabernacle? This is big jazz, yep. Mama, too. You remember, why did they have a tabernacle? Darling, why did they have a tabernacle? What was the tabernacle for?
The Articles of the Covenant.
That's right. The Ark of the Covenant. What was the Ark of the Covenant? That's where the bones of Joseph lay. Who was Joseph? Joseph died in Egypt, but he was the one that was turned away by his family and ended up in Pharaoh's house in Naaman's land and ran all the grain. When the Jews, asked Egypt, asked Pharaoh to put them in bondage, they asked to be enslaved. If you read the scriptures, they asked, they said, take our land and we'll work it. And then they said, well, just take us. We'll do it. And so they ended up in bondage in Egypt. They put their power in that box. And we said cardboard box, living in a box. But now, like, we love us some Rich Homie Quan now. We can get on with that now. It's all right. We don't have no problem. We ain't got no problem with it. We can get on with it. So it's all good. But they put their power in the box. That box then became a tabernacle to hold God's power on the earth, because the little man had their place of power and they were separated from their power and they had to put it in a box. Okay? Now, check this out. Upper room. Jesus is crucified. That 50 days, 40 days after the Easter, the Pentecost, coming into the Feast of Weeks. And they come in and fire fell down on their heads from the upper room. The power was returned to them. They had God's power again from the upper room. They were speaking in unknown tongues. They were doing miracles. Oh, my goodness. Zacchaeus couldn't contain himself. He was a tax collector. He couldn't contain himself. He had to find out what was really going on. He'd had interactions with Christ. He saw what was up, as you say it. Then what they do? They turn right back around and they put it in a box. Guess what they did now? They made a little machine that holds in the palm of your hand. We call it the black mirror. It's a black mirror. It sees all. It knows all. You don't have to be smart anymore. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to know anything. You just got to have a good internet access. You're pumping everything into this box. Not into your power. Now, hey Siri, how do you spell sesquipedalian? You don't need to know. Hey Siri, should this be a semicolon or a comma? You don't have to know anything anymore. What they're doing, the humans are pumping all their power into this black box, into this black mirror, into this little God that's come before you. Right here. Now everything is on demand. Everything is in your control. Now, are we mad? No. But here's what the problem is. The problem is if it separates you from your place of coming and becoming your... All right, if your iPhone keeps you out of heaven, is it worth it? And you go, well, no, Ion, it's not worth it. We understand that. That's right. But even if you throw this in the garbage, the red lights still are affected by you. See, this tech body is becoming the thing that's sapping away kingdoms of this world that have become the kingdoms of our God. It's pulling that power away, and it's tricking folks. That's what they say this issue is. We talk about the 8/11 of this whole process. The angels are fighting hard on the other side for humans not to ascend. They're fighting hard. That's what the apocalypse is about. That's what the four horsemen are about, to try to steer you away from anything and everything that allows you to come back into your place of power.
That's what the wild judgment is all about.
Uh-huh. Explain that, because you got the fallen angels and you got God's angels. So you're saying all the angels, good,
all
or
the
bad,
angels, all the angels, all the. There ain't no good angels and ain't no bad angels. They're all angels. They'll all eat you. They'll slay you from one end to the other. They'll destroy you. They'll eviscerate you. They'll make you into a fine powdery pulp. Any of them, all of them, every single one of them. You want to know? We'll call some down and visit you. It ain't no trouble. You'll see. There ain't none. There ain't no good and ain't no bad. They're all angels. They're just angels. They follow God's word. They don't because they have to, not because they want to. They want. Then see, what they do is humans can control the angels. Humans can control the angels. That's a trick. It's called keys and airs. And Carolyn's doing very wonderful at it. She's about to get She's about to get there, y'all. Just better be careful now because she's about to get there because she takes it simple and easy and light. It's not serious. She just goes with it. And then the next thing, something comes along. When Mammon comes and Babylon comes knocking on her door, she knows what to do. She don't say nothing. She don't say nothing. And it works out. And don't nobody's blood have to run down the river ridge. It can, but it don't have to. It gets taken care of. The cares of life grow strangely dim. But the point is these angels, they don't want you to ascend. The war in heaven, where one-third of Lucifer's angels and one-third of Gabriel's angels and one-third of Michael's angels, the archangels, the legions as they were divisible up. Elohim is a whole other one they don't even gauge or spend a lot of time with, but history notes Elohim and some of that crew. It's pretty big. There's a lot of angels, is what we're trying to say. The whole realm is working for in conjunction for one thing, to guard and carriage the work of paradise. Okay? Paradise is a big word because there's a lot of worlds and a lot of kingdoms and there's a lot of realms. Okay? So that's a distraction from this conversation. Y'all are trying to get clean up the esoteric basic version of what's up. Okay, as God, angel, none of the angels are a problem. As God, as in your place of power, they all bow before you. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. They will to you. That's right. That's the whole point. And now when that happens, then you can control the angels and tell them what to do. Make my bed. Everything you don't want to chop up them vegetables, we're going to make a soup. Get things ready to go. Clean up this nasty house, for Pete's sake. Work that garden. No, I won't do my own garden. I'll do my garden. Okay, help us with the mulch. Do the stuff you don't like to do. Let them do that. And they will. Sounds crazy, but they will.
Yeah, I think the crazy thing is like when you're brought up in the church, and that even if anyone brought up in the church, angels are almost, they say it as like they're your friends and they're on your shoulders and they're these white glooming things that are, here to help
damn,
you.
So, damn. Black matters. Black lives matter, Jack. Black lives matter. Don't be like that. We don't do that. Like
no,
that.
I'm just saying. I want to bring it down to my dad can hear it. I want you to kind of, because I could see how someone could look at it like that. So I want you to break it down. So, you said, can you break it?
We see more nasty that they've done than good they've done. Give us the good things the angels have done. What have they done? They knocked up Mary. They knocked down the walls of Jericho. The people in Jericho didn't think too much of the goddamn angels that knocked their wall down. Okay? They tore up Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, they've hurt the real estate value. That real estate value went to nothing in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Tower of Babel knocked that down. They can't tell what kind of AIG like to never recovered from the insurance claim when they knocked down the Tower of Babel.
You said that God has to give them the okay to do anything. They just don't arbitrarily.
No. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They started a war arbitrarily. It wasn't God's idea to start it and make a little man. It wasn't God's idea to make you fall from your grace. It wasn't God's idea for you to be run out of the Garden of Eden. That wasn't God's idea.
He wanted you to be at peace. He wanted you to choose God of your own free volition, to come into your place of power freely and be a joint heir with Christ and live in paradise in a mansion with streets paved with gold, clear, crystal clear, gold so pure you can see in it like a piece of crystal called moissanite. But that's another conversation. And so that's the whole point. Yeah, they run freelance. Until now, some have other negative connotations, and some don't have such negative connotations. But let me tell you what: you want to get, it's like bears. Are bears bad? Are bears the beast bears? Are they evil?
No,
not necessarily. No,
not necessarily. But by God, get one mad, see which is the tree you go up. Get stir one up and see which one of you goes up the tree faster. A bear will tear you apart. Tear you over not a good reason. You see, they're waspish. Well, so are angels. They'll tear you asunder. So when you start in this world, see, when you start in this world, you got to know what you're working with. That's the reason we say never, ever, ever engage the angels when you're angry or like not of a good temperament. If you're upset to the point where you have an ire, do not, repeat, do not, under any circumstances, engage the angels because it feeds them. They feed on that emotion. Angels, the one thing, the only thing that the angels want from humans is the salt out of your tears. They have no salt. The salt, they would do anything, they'd kill 10,000 of you just to get one drop of salt out of your tears. They got no salt. They got no way to get salt. But through your tears, that's why they say tears will never stain the streets of that city. Won't cry no more. Won't have no tears. That's what they're after. And you go, that seems a little silly after a little while. Well, they go, okay, call it silly if you want to. But basically, we're saying the word of God. We like King James. That was Mary's boy, King James. We liked him. Now, he was with Elizabeth, but it was Mary, Queen of Scots' boy. So we're going with that. We like his version that he paid for of the scriptures. There's lots of different Bibles, but we like King James version because it seems to be the cleanest in our opinion. Now, we're not saying it's necessarily perfect, but it's empirically appropriate. But now you start getting in the woo-woo gospel and fuck me hard in the watermelon, hey, Christ, living world, and you know, they got all kind of crazy stuff out there. They can take it too far sometimes. And what we find is that it distracts more than it edifies. It distracts more than edifies. So we say, okay, let's go with King James equal. And then if y'all want to get off into something else, new King James or the less new King James or the some concordance that may apply to something more than something else, Strong's Concordance that's going to tell you something that may take the Greek and then run it back to the Hebrew and then run it back to the German and then run it. Gets really crazy after a little while. But the Greeks are what messed this all up, you see. But to set that aside, the point is that we just keep it equal with King James just because it's easy, all right, from an Elizabethan standpoint. It's easy and it allows you to start on the same footing. So if there is an exegesis on a scripture that you want to discuss, you don't have to fight with 75 different versions of the same verse. That's why I'm trying to do it that way. It just makes it easy.
Wouldn't you often want to go to the original root word? Because a whole lot of times the, like for instance, heart, the kidneys, the loins becomes the heart when you go from one version to, and that can be missed. Well, I wouldn't say misleading, but sometimes it can be interpreted differently.
Well, that's right. That's why we say that we go with the hara, the gut brain is what we go with. The brain is where you start thinking about something and it'll get you messed up. It'll confuse you. It'll distract you. Okay. So the gut brain, where it's not a thinking man's game, you just kind of know. You quit thinking and you start knowing. Then finally, it's kind of like when you make a decision and you just kind of know in your gut. even though it's not what everybody says, or like you'll come to the intersection and turn right or turn left. Nope. Let's go search the scriptures. Go into the scriptures. I don't know whether to turn right or turn left. Hold on. We're going to sit right here for 37 years, and we're going to study the word, and we're going to find out which is right and which is left. And then we said, oh, but three lefts make a right. You go, oh, I got to think about that for another 25 years. I'm going to sit right here. I'm going to sit right here on the levee, and I'm waiting on the Robert E. Lee. I'm going to see what I can come into. You see, at some point, you just got to know, turn right. Boom, turn right. Because you've hid the scripture in your heart, you know it. That's what we're saying. We're not saying there's not room for all this. Once you hide that in your heart, one day there may not be a Bible for you to read. You better hide the word in your heart. You better make it be a part of you. You better find out what the whole armor of God is, because you're fixing to need it. You're going to worry about going to check on something. You better know. And that's why we say it's autonomic and not a thinking man's game. That's why we say that, because we don't want you to become a thinker and you become so heavenly minded you're no earthly good.
So, hey, I want to talk about that. I remember, like, my dad is, like, probably one of the smartest people I know in my life.
Yes,
and I'm not saying because of my dad.
No, he is. Like, he is. And you know what he is? You know what he is? He's humble. He's not pie-eyed. You know what? He's reasonable. But he's very smart, and he's wise. He's wise. You know why? Because he got his hands dirty. Do you understand? You never had your hands dirty in your life, boy. Not one time in your life have you ever had your hands dirty. He gets his hands in the dirt. He knows what it feels like. The visceral, tactile, knowing. He's not asking about that stuff. You know why? He knows.
He knows it.
He knows. You put sweet potato slips in the ground, you don't get cucumbers. You put sweet potato slips in the ground, you don't get avocados. You just know. You don't have to ask nobody. You don't have to go to the almanac to see what they say about it. You know what you're going to get. That's the thing. So you don't sow in anger. And then you don't get angry. Pretty good. Now, he's wise and he's smart. Now, we distracted you. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So I think one of the biggest things with my dad is that it's hard for people that are very, very smart and have a lot of wisdom to say time to come into new information. So what I want to do is, like, how do we use my dad's smartness?
Because
my dad knows.
It's not. I know, but it's not new. It's not new. It's just never been applied.
Okay, yeah. Exactly, okay.
It's never been applied.
My dad knows about amino acids. Like, when I was a kid, my dad was giving me fucking amino acid pill, like, all this shit. And it's so funny when I hear it now that all this stuff, like, that he knows. So it's like, if he knew this and he could attach the two, he could probably pass a lot of people in this ascension process because he knows so much.
Okay.
But I think on the flip side.
Okay. Let's clean this up. Do you have a meat sack body? Yes or no?
Okay, I'm gonna just, Dad, meat sack body is your body you're in right now. That's meat sack. Yes, I have
your body. Yeah. Not your spirit. Yeah. You're all of you. The sum total of you.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You know what water is?
Yes.
Are you smart?
Yes. Well, I don't
know.
Swim? Yes.
You are smart. Can you swim in water?
Yes.
Okay, so you know how to swim in water. So that's not foreign to you, right?
Yep.
So the construct of being able to have a buoyancy in water becomes natural to you, cold or hot, that you can function and swim in the ocean or cement pond or a river or a lake. You can actually engage in the water and not drown, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, and now that's what the word teaches you. What we're saying is, if you can swim in water, you should also be able to swim in lava. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you swim? If we started this off by saying, can you swim in lava? You say, yeah, for about 30 seconds. It's going to melt the meat off my bones after that. We go, not necessarily. Not if the exoskeleton does what Jesus said it's going to do. God, if your body is 144,000, take off on the same ship, and that those chromosomes open up, and you have 144,000 double helix strands from the 12 tribes of Israel, then all of a sudden we have a different conversation. Then you start knowing what the whole armor of God is about. It's not some woo-woo thing to get you out of some broke-back, bitch-back Sunday school problem that you can't seem to figure out amongst your brethren. Who's more worried about who's sleeping with the other one's husband than they are about the bride of Christ? Just saying. Sorry, that was your free part. It didn't cost nothing. It didn't cost nothing, but them Pentecostals, they had lots of babies. That's all we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, so it gets back to, like, me and my dad had like a heart to heart yesterday because it was just on my soul to like really like kind of give, not
you
even like,
soul?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, whatever. It was just on my mind to like speak to him, but I might have like, for me, I never talked to my father like that. I've never been the type of person.
You respect him and he trusts you. He didn't have, you've not given him a whole lot of reason to. But he trusts you. You've not given him a lot of reason to, but he trusts you. Okay?
Yeah.
So just the way we see him as empowered as the body of Christ, we're careful with our words because we would just say a God, but we don't want to offend because it's not an offensive thing. It's a wonderful thing. But we say it that way. If he's the representation of the body of Christ, he ain't got no problem with that. Just the way you lay it out. It's just swimming in lava. It's just swimming in lava. It's no big deal. Now, once that's the case, then to have an engagement, all of a sudden, you have to be able to hold your own in a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants. That's what he wants. You know what he really wants? He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be sated. He wants you to be clear-minded. He wants you to have what you want. What are the joys of your heart? What makes your heart sing? That's what he wants. He doesn't care. He don't care who you sleep with. He don't care what you do. He certainly can't if he respects you. He can't do anything about it. But the point now becomes, that's all he's ever wanted. And see, that's what Christ wants for his church. Only his is pure. His is normal. When you say something in front of him, he can take it. There's nothing you can say to him that he can't gather and grasp or have a construct of. There's nothing foreign to him. Now, there may be things he doesn't know, like how to plug up his WeChat into his BitDance connection so he can draw money out of China. He might not know that, but I don't know why he would need to. But you see, everybody's got a little TikTok going on somewhere that's fine, but the rub is not that. The rub is the condition that creates a ByteDance. It's the same thing that made a Rubik's Cube popular. And he knows that very well. He knows how a socioeconomic strata in a government can become so prolific. He remembers what it's like when they was going to kill Lucille Ball because one time she put on her voter application that she might like a socialist. Ooh, Lord Jesus is going to put her on the cross. Now you got AOC fixing to turn everybody that ain't a communist into the FEMA cramps. See? And it's easy. The church don't need to have no trouble with this coronavirus. They need to have church in the liquor store. You can have as many people in the liquor store as you want to. As many as you want to. No problem. But you can't have but 10 in church. So everybody meet in the liquor store. And there'll be no problem. Do what you want to. It'll be house of spirits. You can pray for people. Lay hands on people. You got communion wine right there. Everything's easy. It's good. It's good. It's good. Just have your church at the liquor store. The liquor store won't mind it. Or matter of fact, just put the liquor store in the church, call it a liquor store, and then you'll be all right because you can, at that point, you can make it a larger dynamic, and then the liquor store will be tax-free. Won't that be wonderful? It just solves everything. It'll be Jesus in bond. Instead of bottle in bond, it'll be Jesus in bond. It'd be great.
For me, it was like I am. It's like you always say, you can't push this information, right? And like you said, the only thing I want for my dad is to be happy. I know he's 62, 64, and I know he was going through a very bad time in his life. But
I can't be 64, Jack.
I'm not good with ages. You know that. I don't even fucking know mom's age. I don't know nobody's age. Are you someone? What are you? 63.
Your dad is 62.
So he's 62 years old, and like you said, he's got his hands dirty his whole life, and he's always work, grit. And it's hard to tell somebody, you know what? You don't really have to work hard to get to paradise to get what you want. Like something's funny, like my dad has 360 sick days because he wants his hands dirty. Like I'm the type of person, I'm gonna take, like you said, I ain't got my hands dirty. I'm gonna take my sick days. I'm going on vacation. That's the difference. It's not a bad thing or a good thing, but I think that's why it's hard. I want my dad to be happy and understand there's more than you even know. And the only way, and I can't preach it on him, but I can only say, like, hey, this shit is happening. It's changing my life, you know?
But I'm happy,
Dad,
son. I'm happy.
Dad, this is,
I'm in a
Dad,
good place
Dad,
right
this
now.
Is why,
I'm not saying Dad, you're not happy, Dad. Dad. I'm just saying that's what I want.
Dad,
I'm not
Dad,
saying you're
Dad,
not happy.
Little Jack.
Yeah. What's amazing is what you're saying to your dad is what he's been saying to you your whole life. What you're regurgitating back to him is the only thing he has vicariously given his entire life so that you and your siblings can be sated, be comfortable, be better, be happy. You don't have to worry. It's okay. Yeah. We're doing okay. Is it paradise? Not quite, but we're sure better than it was. It's better than it was if I lay in this bed and don't do nothing. That ain't no good. Let's go. Say something. Let's go. We may win and we may lose, but I ain't going to be here. We're going to be moving on down the road. And that's wonderful because that's the whole conditioned response, you see. They came from a generation that said the church was supposed to sustain them. That's when if you had trouble, the church would help you. Church don't help you no more. They don't help you no more. You see?
I think it depends on the church you're connected with, Ion. I disagree with that. I think that we have to discern those that are around us because I think church now is a movement. I don't think people are looking at it.
Right, it's a movement.
Element.
It's a movement.
I think it's
that's
a movement.
Right.
I think it's
that's
the
right.
thing to do. I think it's the place to be. Just like sometimes I look at I work with a lot of young kids, and I feel like sometimes things are a movement with kids. Because it's the thing to do. And I think that you have to be able to separate yourself from a movement and from a place that's really fulfilling you and a calling that you have and making you want to be better, making you want to do better, making you want to reach out and help people,
even if it's not that good, if it makes you acknowledge that there is something better. Yeah, see, sometimes when you join together, if you're helping each other, you're encouraging each other, that's wonderful. But so many times, it used to be when you said church in general, that's what it means. Okay? But you know you got trouble if you become a non-denominational member of a church. And there's so many non-denominational churches that becomes its own denomination.
It becomes something to
trouble.
Do on a Saturday or a Sunday morning.
Correct.
So
I think
we have to do
it's just a time filler. It's a time filler. What you say correctly is they play in church. They're not in. They're not part of the body of Christ. They play in church. Sometimes they do it for money. If they're a builder, they'll get strong in the church so they can get business. Sometimes if they got a flyer business or something, they'll do that self-serving kind of thing. Now, if it breeds to the body of Christ, okay, we're not so mad about that. Hey, God used a lot of nasty people to do a lot of wonderful things. He always laid out with the wine bibbers. He wasn't with the Sanhedrin. Yep. He was with the rough ones is where he was. So we're not fussing about that. We're just saying that most on a broad scale, it's more challenging these days to find the church. And what happens, somebody that talks like you, they go start a church.
See, that's how you got so many of them.
I don't know about that. I'm going to support everybody else. But you're right. You're right.
Yeah. You're right. That's why. That's how you got them. That's, otherwise, you just need one church. And you're right. Your words are solemn. But if that were the case everywhere, you'd just need one church. And instead, yeah, you know, you got 10,000 on every corner. So, but they've all been laid to waste. What's happening is the spirit that's overtaken the earth right now in this, we don't want to use the wrong word, but we could say apocalyptic times, where, exactly, as you know, just as the Bible would say, that they say everything is right or everything is wrong or everything is up or everything is down.
Yep.
After a little while, it's like, well, this can't even make no sense. How can everything be right and how everything be wrong? Now the only sin is sin. Well, what is sin, yeah, then?
You are.
You get it tangled up, but that's sort of how they get away with it, you see.
Yeah.
That's how they get away with it. Or, as our standard joke is, you know what the difference between a Methodist and a Baptist is?
No, but what is it?
A Methodist will speak to you at the liquor store, and a Baptist won't talk to you in the liquor store. That's the difference. But the whole point of this
conversation we had tonight, I got to go to Keith,
yeah,
and get me a little snack, but I enjoy the conversation,
yes, ma'am,
tonight.
Yes, ma'am. We adore you, sweet Sue. We adore
this
you, and
great.
We thank
this
you.
Really great.
Jack,
and I want to tell
my standard
son, I love you. I'm glad you,
Jack,
asked me to dial,
yeah,
in tonight. This is really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Jack is a standard bearer. Jack is a standard bearer. He's in the
stand.
He's moved up
the
ranks amazingly.
He's
hold it, Sue. Hold it, Sue. You ain't getting out without some of my wisdom. I just want to say this. This is a can of worms. When we were talking half an hour ago about being part of God,
uh-huh,
is that part, myself as part of God, am I as big as God?
Say that one more time, Bob.
If I'm a part of God with Jesus,
mm-hmm,
is,
uh-huh,
me as a part, is that part as big as God?
Is that part as big as God?
Yeah, me as a part of God. Am I as big as God?
As big as Big G God?
Yes.
As big as Big G God? Through,
yep,
my lens and my teaching, no. And neither am I.
Okay, and we would say if it is part of God, no part of God is diminished. So therefore, as you're created in the image of God, you are perfect in every way. And so therefore, you would become the intangibly part of that bigness. So therefore, I'm going to fight for you just as I would fight for Big G God, because I love you. You're in my force field, you see. And that's the part that you can reach. Well, now that's,
mm-hmm,
the part that you can reach somebody that's not worth your spit. There's a lot of people you have done a lot of good for that ain't worth nothing. They're vagabonds, knockabouts. They need to be cast in a ditch somewhere. They need to be,
yeah,
cast in a ditch. And instead, you stop and say, no. Let's love them. We need to love them. Maybe they'll see something different. Let's love them. And guess what? Give them a little change, work it a little out, and then you do, and then all of a sudden one day they wake up and say, oh, my Lord, that crazy Sue woman saved my life. She saved
and
me. She loved me when nobody else would. Now, that's what Bob is asking, is the big God so big that it includes you? And we say,
oh,
yes. Everything.
Absolutely.
Well, that's what he's asking. That's what she's asking. Because you become hands. Well, you become, it is too. No, he did it on purpose. He did it on purpose.
Uh-huh.
He did it on purpose that way. Because Jesus said, if they're hungry and you didn't feed me, you did it to me. If you kicked them in the face, you did it to me. If you didn't do what you, if you didn't help them along, you did it to me. That's what he meant. That's what he's saying. This incorporeal, the corporeal part of you is the part of Big G God. And see, people sin. They do wrong things. But Jesus never sees what's wrong. He sees what's right.
Reconciliation.
Yeah, I agree. Right, reconciliation. I agree with
this. This is so wonderful. Yes. Hold my mule. Let's praise him just a little bit.
Yeah. No, I'm thankful for this. I am. I'm thankful. I'm glad we said it like this. It almost sounds like we're on the same page.
Of course.
Almost.
You said almost, Bob.
As the song says, as the song says, constantly abiding. Constantly abiding. That's what it is.
Yep. Man, you can have me singing some gospel music pretty soon. You're right.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, yes, ma'am.
I agree. I agree. Good. I agree. Yep. I'm good. Are you, I'm really good.
I hope you're wearing a mask in this meeting.
Oh, yeah, you got to wear a mask. They got the corona in the chip body now. And if you got the cell phone, you got to put a mask over the cell phone. But the Face ID don't work good when you put the mask on the phone. And your dogs, if you got a dog, you got to put a mask on the dog, too. You're going to get in the corona.
Yep, I agree. No, this was good. This is really good.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, thanks for dropping by.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
yes,
you,
Dad. Indeed.
Smile. Thank
this
you,
is,
Dad.
This has been a great 15 minutes, Bob.
Good opener.
Hour and a half.
This was good. I thank you guys for your time.
Yep.
I guess somebody else will call me.
Is my daughter on the line?
We love you very much.
Yeah, Lisa, you on the line? I think she's on. Yeah, she's on the line. Bob, you see Eskaton?
Yeah, I think she's muted. I'll unmute her.
Yeah, unmute her.
Okay, there, right there. Okay, yes. Go ahead, Eskaton.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Yep, we heard the whole thing.
Good.
It's Eskaton. Hey, darling.
Hi, Ion. How are you?
Hey, honey, it's good. Your daddy is a god. Did you know that?
I do. I did. Now he knows.
Ain't that something? Yeah, he knew all along. He just want to be. He didn't want to get all puffed up. He don't. He said the road to perdition is paved with his good intentions.
Okay. Right. Hey, Mom. Hey, Jack. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, Eskaton?
Great.
We X-rayed your family.
You did.
And you know what we proved? And Eskaton, guess what we proved? You know what
What's
we proved?
That? What's that?
We proved John 14:14. We proved John 14:14.
Not 14:12, 14:14?
We proved, 14:12 was the reason, but we proved tonight John 14:14.
What is that?
Look it up. You should already know. You went to church. You went to Bible school. You went to Sunday school. Damn, look the shit up.
All right,
take you. I'll put some octagon soap in your mouth. Yeah, we get you. Look it up.
My sister did that
Jack
to me too. To put soap on.
Jack didn't go to church to read the Bible. He went to church to play basketball.
Exactly.
Well, okay, as long as they got a good cord, I guess that's all right.
Yeah.
All right. So John 14:14 says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
No, that's not King James Version.
Oh, shit. All right, hold up. Okay. Got King James. All right, so it says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
There you go. Shall ask. That's it. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Bam. There you go. Now, that's what God does. See? How cool for school is that?
Hey, Eskaton, did you want to engage in the conversation with your parents?
Well, actually, you know, I could, but I had a lot of questions that I had planned out for this evening, but I got a lot out of just listening. But if we've got time, I'd definitely like to ask a few things, but it's up to you.
Yeah, do it.
Come on. Back in
jump in.
Yeah,
Jenny.
You can ask.
It's Big Jack, Little Jack night. Jump in. We're doing Jig Jack.
So I'm going to ask this question and see how we can kind of bring it together. We were talking about quite a bit this evening, right? So this first question, I believe I already got the answer to throughout the evening, but when we say Ion wrote the Bible, is that literal? How should I interpret that?
Yeah. 1 Chronicles 28:13.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to look that up, and then I'll have more.
King James, yeah. That's right now. I'll say it.
I'll wait.
I'll look it up. Okay. I'll look it up. All right, so that says 28:13. Also for the courses of the priests, the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's our writing. That's our representation for that work. It's basically chronicling the work that was done. And that's what it is.
Mm.
See, like for example, that I've been listening. I mean, I'm engaged every week. We have the archives. We reference a lot of stuff, and I think it's very hard for someone to be like, "Yo, you heard you wrote the Bible." It's like, get the fuck out of here. But for me, it's normal now. But I know for some people listening, it's like one of those things where it's like, "Yo, come on, man, you didn't write the fucking Bible." Like,
well, it's fine. Okay. Wait. Then, if that's true. What you going to do with who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls?
I don't know. I don't know who wrote.
Oh. Me either.
See? There you go. Okay, now what you going to do? Why, if someone else wrote the Bible, why would the Council of Nicaea have to close the canon as far as what's the empirical word of God and what's not? Why would the Council of Nicaea have to decide what's in God's Word and what's not?
I don't know.
That's the rub. That's the thing. We don't have to kill ourselves. We don't have to kill ourselves with that. You got the information. Now do your other questions, because otherwise we get lost in the nothing else
would
gets
you
answered.
Say, Mom?
And we look after everything.
Right. Oh,
the Council of Nicaea created the Bible and left a lot out.
No. No, they decided what was included in the canon and what was excluded.
Right, not created. Yeah, they edited the Bible.
Right. Edited. Okay, got it. Okay, I've heard that before.
Yes, I have heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So, we'll keep it on the same thing. So, okay. What does it mean, then, for someone to catch the Holy Ghost?
Oh, okay. It's a disease. It's a less
like
than
what?
Place to what humans say. Humans say it's like catching the Holy Ghost. The doctors would say it's like sickle cell anemia. They say it's a palsy. Something fell on them. They see it as a less than place. But we see it as a representation of God's almighty strength and power flowing freely through you. Which is an example. You don't have any regard. See, you become the spirit or conscious of Christ, which is what we say you are anyway. But then Mama says, Miss Sue says, now wait a minute, don't mix this up with big G God and little G God or God. We say, no, we're on the same boat. That's why that's valid, you see. That's why everyone can catch the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would be segregated out in another kind of a way if they couldn't be included, if they weren't created in the image of God. Big God.
Right.
So, I mean, some of this comes from, some of this comes from the exegesis that they run to set things in these little boxes. These little palettes. They're not exactly the case, but it's the way people was raised all their life, and they're just not going to go away with it, you see. They just, they're not going to get over that easy. And we're not saying that it's wrong. We're just saying that you got to be open in the perspective. Because if you ain't seen it lately, you're fixing to see a little bit of everything, whether you like it or not, or know it or not, or appreciate it or not. You've been to see it.
Right. Okay. I can understand that. So what does it mean,
dog
then?
Dog and cat laying together.
Got it. So I've got a question for you. So we kind of joking around. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I know a few months ago, you guys jokingly kind of coined my nickname as Eschaton. And then I was talking to Jack the other day. He's going through the Revelations right now, and he talked about, he came upon a portion of the Revelations where it talked about eschatology being the theology concerned with the final mm-hmm. events of history and the ultimate destiny of humanity and all of these things.
Yeah.
Why did you give me the nickname Eschaton?
And well, Bob did.
I wrote the Bible and I gave you a nickname.
Because of mediacology, the mediacology, you will stand in that very position. You'll say the last run. You can't
have crazy the sacramental too. That's the crazy part about it.
Right.
You'll say the last
crazy
one.
Part? What's the crazy
She's
part?
She's a track star. My sister. She was a track
She's a
star.
What?
She was a track star. And
right,
Ion
right,
said
right.
she'll save the last run.
Oh, yeah.
mm-hmm.
yeah. Well, I know. Who found the word the other day? Your friend, did you say?
My brother.
I did.
Jack.
Jack did. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, eschaton, the phrase I first encountered was a novel called The Illuminatus Trilogy by Robert Anton Wilson, written in the mid-70s. And it opens with, blah, 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 the immanentizing of the eschaton. Immanentizing, you got to look that up. I don't know what it means, but it's sort of a humorous. It became a meme, and a lot of people use it, immanentizing the eschaton. So it meant like some dramatic ending, because eschatology looks at final things, so it has something to do with the last moment. So immanentizing the eschaton is a phrase in my head, and I don't use it much, but when we were first finding out your name, I couldn't figure out what you were saying, and then you said a name, and I adopted it, but I have to go back and listen to what I did that show. But then the next show, you showed up. I couldn't remember it, so I just started calling you Eschaton because it was cute.
Okay,
right.
I looked it up.
Yeah.
And immanentizing the eschaton in Wikipedia. In political theory and theology, to immanentize the eschaton means trying to bring about the eschaton, which is the final heaven-like stage of history in the imminent world. In all these contexts, it means trying to make that which belongs to the afterlife happen here and now on Earth. Oh, my gosh.
That's what we do.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah.
That's completement, Carolyn.
What?
Hey, Ian, hold it. That's completement.
Right.
Carolyn, that means completement.
Yeah. It is. And guess what? She's proven the point that it only takes 20 years for a liberal to become a conservative without changing a single idea.
McCullough predicted that in Counterblast in 1969.
No, that was Robert Anton Wilson, Bob. Come on, you know your
stuff. Okay, no, you're quoting him, but I don't recognize it. But he got it from McLuhan. He read McLuhan. And McLuhan said in 1969 that the new conservatives or the neoconservatives, the content of their ideology was the old classical liberalism. Okay.
Yeah. And
so,
that belief is the death of intelligence.
Right.
Oh.
Carolyn, where does it come from? Is it from Anton Wilson, or was it out there from some other source? Let's go down and look at its history.
Okay, let me open it up.
It's significant that Carol's looking it up because she's doing completement formulas, so she's finding out what she does in this definition.
Right.
Origin. The modern usage of the phrase started with Eric Voegelin in the New Science of Politics in 1952. Conservative spokesman William F. Buckley popularized Voegelin's phrase as "Don't immanentize the eschaton." No, good old Buckley.
Wait a minute, like I'll say it.
Buckley's version became a political slogan of young Americans for freedom during the 1960s and 70s. Voegelin identified a number of similarities between ancient Gnosticism and the beliefs held by a number of modern political theories, particularly communism and Nazism, and on and on and on. So it wasn't...
Let me give you the hidden history.
That proves Alan Watts, Bob.
No, you're right. Listen to that. Who was a friend of Robert N. Wilson? Carolyn, Voegelin is an old buddy of McLuhan's. They shared the belief that modern society was totally Gnostic in science and the arts. Now, when our foster daughter went to McLuhan's College, St. Michael's College in the University of Toronto campus, that was the Catholic version. She thought she was Catholic. She only lasted 6 months, but when she quit, she gave me her one book from the college year, and it was that book, Carolyn, 1952. And it was all chewed up from her notes and all that. And then you'll look on around page 234 in the Letters of McLuhan. He writes about that book and Voegelin. So there's a famous correspondence between them back in the 50s. So I never knew the phrase came from Voegelin. That's incredible.
That's like D.T. Suzuki, Bob.
Yeah, who was a big influence on Alan Watts, who was a friend of Robert N. Wilson. They're all the same network, so I didn't know they were countering Buckley. Now, the Young Americans for Freedom made Brussels article for Larry Flint's Hustler magazine in 1983 about the Nazi connection to JFK. She pointed out that the Young Americans for Freedom were infiltrated by these Nazis, and they used that cover to kill Kennedy. So it even goes into them, Young Americans for Freedom. So
and the whole Robert Anton Wilson Association... the Illuminatus Trilogy, apparently the words appear 15 times in that book, and that's where we thought it came from, didn't we?
Well, I knew, I thought he got it from somewhere, but I had no clue, and I was too lazy back then to look it up. So I used it with him, and then I found out again it's about me, for fuck's sake. It's always about me. Yeah. I just can't be bothered looking up every reference to me. And so you've been honored there, Eschaton, with this nomenclature. It's very important. You're not pro or con. You're just Eschaton.
Oh, that's funny. And don't worry, people. The windows are shut.
Yes. Nobody's going to hear Bob say
Thank God. Bob was picking up the scene there. We were getting a little nervous, Carolyn.
Carol's more worried about our neighbors than the 100,000 people listening all over the world right now. It's the neighbors we have to worry about.
It happened.
They don't know.
That's right.
They don't know what to do.
There's priests all over the world considering suicide every day, Bob.
That's right. We've completed it.
Okay, now next question. She had a lot of questions, Bob. You're taking a lot of time for each one. It's only a 9-hour show, Bob. You only got 9 hours left.
All right. So the next one. So my maiden name is McClinton, but I married someone whose last name is Ayre, A-Y-R-E, no S.
Right.
And we talk about H-E-R.